The Bible says that parents are the ones who are responsible for their children's education, and it is the parents that the Lord will hold us accountable to for their children's education. We're going to talk about this and what's happening in America's schools today right now with David Clawson, who deals with the subject of biblical worldview at Family Research Council. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome David Clawson to the program. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Jerry, thanks so much for having me on. It's a joy to be on your show.
Sure. First of all, let me say this. I've talked in the past with Tony Perkins and different people from the Family Research Council, but this is the first time I've talked with you directly, and you are now heading up a new department called the Center for Biblical Worldview. How about just a quick word on that, and then we'll get right into the schools issue.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So Family Research Council has cared about the issue of biblical worldview for a really long time, but we've decided looking at the statistics, George Barna recently released a poll that showed only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Even only 21% of those who attend evangelical churches have a biblical worldview, despite 81% thinking they do. And when you look at those numbers, decided FRC is it is time to intentionally invest in pastors and churches to provide resources to make sure that people are understanding all the issues we face, political issues, cultural issues, theological issues, through the lens of Scripture. And so that's why in May we launched our Center for Biblical Worldview, and this summer we've had opportunities to go around the country to share our resources, and we're just thrilled to see the way the Lord is using this new ministry here at the Family Research Council.
Okay, let's talk about education. A lot of controversies today related to critical race theory, transgender agenda, the homosexual push, and all these different things going on. What is a parent to do?
Yeah, so the issue when it comes to education, I think, you know, it's been in the news a lot recently, but one of the things that I think now that we're emerging from the COVID-19 pandemic is really seeing what's going on in our schools, whether it's the push for transgender rights, revisionist history that's being taught, even the critical race theory that's being introduced in a lot of our classrooms. What we're seeing is a big growth in the homeschooling movement, but what we're really seeing is I was homeschooled personally. I did private school. I went to public school for my university experience. So I'm not here to dump on public school, but the main thing to take away with, Jerry, is that it is their responsibility to be the chief disciple maker in their home. The verse that I always go to is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Moses gets the Ten Commandments. He receives the law of the Lord, and he comes down. What does he say? He tells parents that it is their responsibility to teach the law to their children when they're walking on the street, when they rise, when they lay down. And so I think that every parent, and I know each family situation is different, but we have to begin making sure that every parent views themselves as the chief disciple maker in their home.
Well, that's a difficult thing to do in today's society with everything being so busy and mom often working outside of the home. And by the way, in my case, by God's grace, we were able to have it so that my wife was able to stay at home. And even now that we have grandchildren, it's fantastic to see the day with grandma that my little grandchildren get to have. And in fact, the other day I shared a little post on Facebook and I put it this way. I said, what's right with the world? Here's my wife giving to her granddaughter, who's only two or three at this point, a day full of playing and learning and, just love, and it's just fantastic. I mean, I could see her doing puzzles with the ABCs and so forth, but unfortunately not everybody is able to afford this kind of thing.
No, that's true, and so that's why, you know, I'm not one to try to make any parent feel guilty, because again, every family has to make their own decision, but we can all be involved in our children's education. So for some people, homeschooling is a viable option, and I know a lot of Christian families have gone that route since the pandemic began. For Christian schools, that's an option for some parents. And for parents that do have to go the public school route, there are still things that you can do. You can be asking your kids what they're learning in school, so you can supplement some of that. I know what I've heard a lot of parents do is they're really intentional about dinner time. They put the phones in the other room, and they make sure that everyone's present around the meal, and they can talk about what they learned, and then, you know, how does Scripture deal with some of these issues. Parents need to be, if you send your kids to public school, go to school board meetings. Maybe think about running for school board. Meet with the teacher. Meet with the principal. There's ways to make sure that you are engaged and involved in your child's education, whatever that unique situation looks like, homeschool, private school, or public school.
Okay, now, David, one thing that's just been kind of shocking, and you mentioned it in your article, is the fact that there have been these different school board meetings where they're like little battle zones in effect. And that's different. You think that is, as you said earlier, it's out of the ashes of the whole COVID problem? In other words, it's almost like, okay, parents are seeing for the first time some of the garbage being taught in some cases in our public schools, and they're up in arms because of it.
Oh, no, absolutely, Jerry. So I live in Washington, D.C., and just over the Potomac River in Loudoun County, Virginia, there's been school board meetings that have just erupted in controversy. And so I think, you know, with the COVID-19, where most of our students had to go remote or virtual learning, that gave a lot of parents for the first time kind of an insight into what their kids were being taught. And so whether it's mask mandates or talks about vaccine passports, I think maybe those are some of the things that have gotten the attention of parents. And now they're looking at what's going on, especially now that we have a new administration, the Biden administration, their Department of Education is putting guidance out there on the issue of transgenderism, which is, I don't know if you want to go there, but that's an issue now that is being pushed in all of these school boards, as well as curriculum, revisionist history, critical race theory. And so all of these issues have been percolating for some while, but I think as we're emerging from this global pandemic, as kids are getting ready to go back to school, it's given parents an opportunity, some for the first time, to really take a close look at what's going on. And so I think if anything, for the conversation you and I are having, parents need to be aware that, you know, there are battles going on in their school boards, and you need to show up to these meetings, have conversations with teachers, have conversations with school administrators, because there are these huge issues that are being debated. And who's affected? It's our children. The next generation is the one that's going to be most impacted on how these conversations turn out.
Go ahead and comment on the transgender issue. And I just, your article came out just recently, and just today or so in the news, I saw that a story out of Minnesota where the teachers were saying, don't tell your parents, but we've got these questions right for you related to gender. And I'm sure you're up on that story.
No, absolutely. So just speaking broadly, just so people realize what's happening, one of the first things the Biden administration did when they took office was reinstate Obama-era guidance on how the word sex is understood, sexual orientation, gender identity, the fact that any student in most of these public schools, what the guidance from the Department of Education is that these students need to be placed in intimate spaces based on their gender identity, which is how they identify. Locker rooms, changing facilities, bathrooms. And this, again, came on high from the Department of Education, and they've doubled down on this. Another executive order that President Biden signed was that wherever the word sex appears in different federal statutes has to be interpreted as gender identity and sexual orientation. Again, all of that, it takes a little bit of time, but it begins filtering down all the way to the local level, which then manifests itself in the public schools. And so we have to be aware, and in the situation you're talking about, Minnesota, that's been repeated all over the place, where you're hearing school administrators saying, to students that if you want to go by different preferred pronouns, we will refer to you that way here at school, but we will not tell the parents about it. You can keep that secret here at school, which is absolutely a violation of parental rights. But again, that's happened in Wisconsin. It's happened in Minnesota. And again, we're going to probably see that more frequently now that some of these more leftist, woke school administrators have cover from the Department of Education.
You know, it's kind of funny. I don't know if you meant to do it, but you sounded like you said a moment ago, President O'Biden. And I've never heard anybody say that, but that sort of makes sense. Not that he's Irish, but there it is. All right. Revisionist history. Let's focus on that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think probably your listeners have heard of the 1619 Project. It was a project by the New York Times that was put together about a year and a half ago that essentially said America's birth date is not actually 1776 and the signing of the Declaration of Independence when we broke free from Great Britain and the American Revolution. The actual founding of America is 1619 when the first African slaves were brought over on slave ships. And, you know, I think obviously it's important to know our history. It's important to know about the slave trade. That's all very important. But, again, critical race theory, it's a phrase that's used a lot. But what critical race theory at root does, it tries to see the world through the lens of race. And so it says white people or Caucasian people are inherently racist, and the systems they build are inherently racist. And so what that looks like in our education system is reframing America through the lens of race, not seeing our founders as imperfect men. Of course, they're imperfect, but not seeing them just as imperfect men who had some really good ideas, but seeing them as deeply flawed, inherently racist men, which is why they want to go to 1619, is when the founding of this country really began. And so that kind of curriculum, 1619 Project by the New York Times, they've produced curriculum that they're wanting to put into the schools now. And so it's absolutely paramount, I think, for any parent who has a student in public schools to be asking questions. What kind of history is being taught? Is the 1619 Project being used? Is similar curriculum being used that is reframing how we see the founding of this country, as well as just the historical figures that you and I would have gone to school learning about?
Okay, and so parents a lot of times can't afford to send their children to Christian school or private school, and they can't necessarily afford time-wise to do the public the homeschool route. So what are your mm-hmm. suggestions on that front?
And again, I think we started the interview mentioning this. I know not every parent can go the homeschool route or afford the Christian school route. I think it's absolutely paramount to at least be asking questions to your kids. I know, you know, I see it all the time. Kids get picked up from school. The parents busy. The kids just on their cell phone in the back seat. We have to just, it sounds simple, but we have to have conversations. We have to ask our sons and daughters, what are you learning at school? What is the teacher talking about? I think it's so important to reclaim family dinner time. I know when I was growing up, my parents made me leave, my sister and I leave our cell phones in the other room, and my dad would do a devotional at the kitchen table and asking us about what we learned. And if someone said, you know, I learned something about history, my dad would lead in a conversation about that. And so I just think it's critical. It sounds so simple, Jerry, but making sure that parents are having conversations with their children. And sometimes it'll be important for parents to reframe some of the things that students are learning at school. You can't reteach the whole curriculum, but you can push back and begin to encourage your student to think critically about some of the things they might be learning. Let me just add one other thing, Jerry. Mm-hmm. I think with Christian parents, often they think that if their kids go to church and they go to the youth group, that they can kind of delegate the responsibility of passing that biblical worldview on to their children. Parents cannot delegate it to the youth pastor. You can't delegate it to the church. That's why reclaiming dinner time, making sure that you're having good conversations in the car with your children, and just reclaiming 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, taking advantage of the times you have to disciple your children. I think that's the framework that we as parents should have, and I think that's the framework that we have in Scripture, Deuteronomy 6, taking every opportunity to teach your child God's Word.
Perfect. All right, David Clausen, thank you so much for being with us. FRC.org for more information. All the best. Thanks again, David.
Really appreciate it, Jerry.